It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We are off and running at the middle of the week. It is the 20th day of September 2017, a little bit more than a minute past the hour. And we begin a brand new broadcast extravaganza here at the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you would like to be part of the madcap multimedia real-time zany wacky extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Just click on chat room there, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and bang, just like that, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Jug of Punch and Kid Mark and VT Blom, all capably moderated by midweek utility pinch hit chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and first things first, yes, indeed. Thanks go out to the subscribers this evening. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed to Bernice. Thank you, Bernice. And thank you to Ralphs. Thanks, Ralphs. And thank you, of course, to our longtime buddy, Carl, in Ohio. So that having been said, I can do some quick ciphering, and I can tell you that as a result of our subscriber group for this 20th day of the month, we have only $175 to raise this evening. Thanks, subscribers. Thank you very, very kindly. You make things considerably simpler. And so, you know, that's 25 bucks we don't have to raise this evening. So 175, and if we do that, well, that means that I don't have to have that sheepish look on my face tomorrow morning when I, you know, go for my my doctor's appointment, my wellness visit, you know, because because uninsured, it's all on a cash on the barrel head basis, and I haven't convinced them to let me bring them a possum or anything yet in exchange for the 5 minutes that I get to spend with an actual physician to get things like my blood pressure medicine re-upped and whatnot. So we got $175 to raise, and that's a weird number. So it's, you know, 10 at 17 and a half or 17 and a half people at 10, and that's going to hurt. And, of course, you know, we always need new subscribers. We always, because... as you can tell, you know, I reel off the names all the way through the month. You know, it would be nice to get up north of 100 subscribers. It would be really nice to get to that number of subscribers that it would take for me to stop talking about all of this. To wit, namely, $410 a month subscribers. Yes. Oh, you got me, Anatole. Busted. Admit it, Mr. Bob, you're going in for a manicure tomorrow. and a petty. Absolutely. And I'm just thinking about what color I'm going to have them use. And maybe, oh, I don't know, pomegranate or passionate pomegranate. No. That's a Horn Lab supplement to be named later. Aubergine. Oh, wait a minute. That's a goddamn eggplant. So many colors. But no, actually, I'm going in so I can get all my scripts rewritten for another 6 months. Because, you know, everybody's got to get, in the for-profit insurance business, in the for-profit healthcare business, everybody's got to get their beaks wet. He just wants to get his beak wet. No. Tomorrow's not cheap blood work Thursday. Cheap blood work Tuesday. Cheap blood work is on Tuesday. Cheap blood work Tuesday was last week, and that was a different fistful of dollars. This is and he's already had his nurse call me to tell me that the blood work was okay, and I'm still not diabetic, which is cool. And tomorrow's just to like get the scripts rewritten and talk about how, you know, it would be really great if I could have those surgeries, but ain't nobody having no surgery anytime soon. So that's what tomorrow is. But tomorrow will not affect in any way the program, because it's an early morning appointment. I'm getting better at the early morning thing, but it's still just right. Yeah. I'll be here. I'll be here for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Let's just put it that way. So that's where we are. If you would like to help keep the Horn on the air, program's free. Everything related to the program is free. Just the stuff that it takes to create the program isn't. Then either through PayPal at headonradionetwork.com, or if you prefer just to have everything happen on the first of the month and be done with it, and you don't like PayPal, you can always do it through Patreon, patreon.com, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. And between the two of us, eventually maybe we will get... Maybe we'll someday, full funding, right? Uh-huh. And by the way, have you given consideration to making Great God Almighty Guava part of your daily nutritional supplement intake? Great God Almighty Guava, only from Horn Labs, a nutritional supplement that will bring you all of the guava goodness you could ever possibly hope for in a few tiny capsules every day for only $29.95. We'll send you a month's supply of Great God Almighty Guava, and for only $60, that's just 10 cents more, we'll send, or 15 cents. Yeah. Wait. Something like that. We'll send you a 2-month supply. And a 3-month supply is only $100. Great God Almighty Guava, only from Horn Labs. Nobody's out there asking the magic question. Yo, well, someone eventually will. Great God Almighty Guava. You know, I still, all my life, I've never cared much for guava. And to this day, the only way I can consume guava is with a handful of Great God Almighty Guava from Horn Labs. Yes. Make it a part of your everyday nutritional needs. Great God Almighty Guava, only from Horn Labs. So here it is. It's 9 minutes past the hour, and of course it's the middle of the week. It's the 20th of September, like I said, 2017. And the middle of the week means ever so much more here than it does in other places, because the middle of the week means it's Wednesday, means it's downhill to Thursday. More than that, though, more than just hump day, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. You know, I never should have told the little blue-haired ladies there in the fellowship hall basement, in the fellowship hall kitchen, about the smoker. But I did. And so on Wednesdays, I tend to get up early, even when it's not a doctor appointment day. On Wednesdays, I tend to get up early, and lo and behold, I took my morning walk down to the cathedral, just to make sure that everything was in good working order, and that Brother Deacon Gerald who's the head of the Building and Grounds Committee, just to make sure that he stayed on top of things. You know, there's always something needs to be done at the cathedral. There's a lot of work to be done running a cathedral. And lo and behold, what did I find there in front of the pastor's office? But three vacuum sealed 2-packs of pork roast. So I knew what I had to do. That meant I had to get it seasoned up and brined and get the fire built and everything. Had to be on the fire by 8 o'clock, or we wouldn't have it ready in time for fellowship dinner back an hour ago. But I did. Yep, brother and sister, and I did. And so the little old ladies worked up some of that fabulous, blazing, spicy, hot, yellow slaw, and they pulled the pork that I roasted for them, smoked for them, and hickory, rich with hickory and pecan and applewood smoke. Mm-hmm. And then they try to be nice to me. They whooped up a little bit of banana pudding. Yep, they did. And I'll confess, I got into it. And there wasn't so much as a jiggling dollop of banana pudding left, because the deacons landed on that with a will. Yeah. So after that, they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of stairs and a couple of flights of stairs and went outside to begin to chain smoking with the sinners. You gotta get a lot of nicotine in to get you through 3 hours worth of the prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, yes, you most assuredly do. And so they stand there and stood there jawing with the sinners. Yeah, hey, buddy, you got a light? Yeah, okay, here, that kind of thing. And sort of, you know, how about them ears and talking college football and whatnot. But then, as is always the case, Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door. Solar-powered cattle prod in hand. And just, you know, put the two fingers in her mouth and whistled. And they turned around and they saw that they saw the solar powered cattle prod, and they knew it was time to get moving, and they put wings to heel, and blew right past her, right through the vestibule door, right through the vestibule, down past that desiccating bowl of butter mints. And they're standing down here in front of me, even as we speak, waiting to walk around the cathedral here. Now, granted, we don't have 17,000 seats like they do over at the basketball arena for Jesus there in Houston. But still, the deacons are standing here. They got those heavy brass plates, and it's got a little PayPal button in the bottom of it, and they're just waiting to pass it along. And you know, it's velvet lined, brass, heavy. You know, when you, while you got your head bowed, just keep one eye kind of scrunched open so that you don't get cronked in the head with the plate when it comes by. God will forgive you. I mean, after all, if Donald Trump can hold his head up and look around like a cow looking at a new gate during prayer, I'm sure the Almighty will not hold it against you for making sure that you don't get a freaking concussion. Right? Right. So we'll call the Minister of Music up, brethren and sistren, and we'll do the offertory hymn. After which, during which the plate will be passed around. Just press that little PayPal button in the bottom. Maybe we'll knock out the $175 before we have to do anything else with the program. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. I'll pray over it real hard. Brethren and sistren. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would step forward and lead us in the offertory, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Dovey, a Kiddly Dovey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, into prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm a calling to you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Stand up there in amongst the pews, which are entirely too close together. Oh, glory! And wiggle and waddle and wobble and move without rhythm so as not attract the worms. Oh, glory! And be careful what you stick in people's faces. But I want you to get out into that center aisle. And brethren and sistren, oh, amen, come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer as it sits there just underneath the altar. And feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious, Vicar, Maximum, Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ho! And I am telling you, brethren and sistren, that great days of faith transformation are upon us.
How do I know? Oh, brethren and sistren. Brethren and sistren, I want to tell you about a man of God. I want to tell you about Jeff Mateer. Jeff Mateer. Right now, he's the first assistant attorney general of Texas. You remember once that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was the solicitor general of Texas. And look, he's a senator now. But while he was down there being a solicitor general, you might recall we talked about this. He filed a godly brief before the Supreme Court saying ain't nobody in America got a right to, you know, masturbate. There's no constitutional right to have a do-it-yourself orgasm, even if you're doing it for Jesus. Ted Cruz said that, and, well, now along comes Jeff Mateer. And Donald J. Trump has nominated Jeff Mateer for a federal judgeship in Texas. Yes, he has. He'll have a job for life. And remember, there's nothing anybody can do to stop the Republican majority from confirming him. So Jeff Mateer is pretty much a lock to get on the federal bench. And I say it's a great day for Christianity, brethren and sistren, because Jeff Mateer will do God's work from underneath that black robe, and you got a filthy mind for even wondering what it is he's going to be wearing under it. If he's confirmed by the U.S. Senate, he'll sit on the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas. I'm not sure if that includes the Texas Gulf Coast, but maybe as a judge he can protect poor put upon corporations when they get sued for all the poisons that they let loose because of their negligent maintenance of their poison stockpiles there when Hurricane Harvey came ashore. He's not a shy man, Jeff Mateer. No, not shy at all. For a while, he was general counsel of the first Liberty Institute. Sit, Liberty, sit. And that's another one of those tax-free religion industry law dodges, kind of like Liberty Counsel and the Beckett Fund. And back in 2015, well, Arthur, you may well be right. Arthur says, my guess was pink lingerie under black robes. Anybody else want to get in on the pool? It may get a little bit, we may need a little more detail, Arthur. I mean, pink lingerie, I mean, there's all kinds of underpinnings go under robes, right? You understand? But we'll put you down for pink lingerie, Arthur, all right? But in 2015, Jeff Mateer, federal district court judge nominee, decided to go a-witnessing, and he gave a speech. And he called his speech, The Church and homosexuality, not intersectionality, that's a thing. the church and homosexuality. Because, of course, the only thing that the only thing that liberty concerns itself with is how people have sex and where they go pee-pee. But he was in high dudgeon, Jeff Mateer was, over a lawsuit in Colorado, which is curiously not Texas, where a transgender girl's parents sued the school because the school wouldn't let her use her gender appropriate restroom. Mm-hmm. And that got Jeff Mateer all kinds of shades of pissed, well, you know, righteously and Christianly pissed off.
A threat if your church opens up to outsiders who aren't members, this could be an issue for you. Anytime you invite the public in, and there are laws that say you cannot discriminate, and if discrimination has a broad classification, you could be in jeopardy. Public ministry. We've been in contact with folks who do homeless ministry, who bring people in, well, and who cater to married couples. Well, what if it's a same-sex married couple? If you're engaged in out, do you have to now accommodate them? Again, an area where there could be a threat. Biblical counselors and therapists. We've seen cases in New Jersey and in California where folks have gotten in trouble because they gave biblical counseling. And, it, you know, the issue is always it's same sex. And if you're giving conversion therapy, that's been outlawed in at least two states and then in some local areas. So they're invading that area. The FCC.
You get the idea. Biblical counseling and conversion therapy. Yeah, this guy's really been nominated to sit on the federal bench, and he actually believes that the Christian torture method known as gay conversion therapy works to make people not be the way they were born. Mm-hmm. And he really, really despises little trans kids. I mean, really, really. So this speech in May of 2015, he was talking about the Obergefell decision that made it possible for people to marry the people they loved. It's a simple enough concept, you know. But no, it's a sign of the end times for an actual federal judicial nominee. In that same speech, he said, and did you notice his voice cracks a little bit there? Maybe it's a late onset of puberty thing. I don't know, brethren and sistren. I submit to you there'll be no line there. Talking about new forms of matrimony. And actually, in the arguments, Chief Justice Roberts, who's in the center there, said, I mean, what is the limiting? Why couldn't four people want to get married? Why not one man and three women, or three women and one man? And we're going to spare you some of these slides. We actually have a presentation that we get into it. And I'll tell you, we say it's PG-13. It may be R, or what do they call the next one, NC-17 or whatever. I mean, it's disgusting. Kind of getting in, channeling his inner Roseanne Adana there. That's disgusting! I've learned words I didn't know. I mean, other than my assistants here, have you ever heard the word thruple? A thruple? So that's three people coming together of different sexes. Thank you, Goddess of Irony, for making him say coming together. We do appreciate you. They're them coming together. He said it twice. There are people who marry themselves. Somebody wanted to marry a tree. People marrying their pets. There we go. Man on dog. You know they can't stay away from it, can they? It's just like, you know, you read the New Testament and you read about all the things and you think, oh, that's not going to go on in our community. Oh, yes, it is. Well, of course it will. Anything can happen in a community that has good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals in it. Because they're some of the weirdest, kinkiest people out there. It makes it especially kinky and dirty if they think that it's kinky and dirty when it's just, you know, consensual sex. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it is. We're back to that time where debauchery rules. He's also a pal of Kevin Swanson. You remember Kevin Swanson. Oh, absolutely, Arthur. Now you have to accept horses who want to marry toasters, or you can't discriminate against ghosts who like PCs. The desperation is almost... horses and toasters. Minor jingle for that, Arthur. You can almost sense the desperation. Because they feel like they just can't exist without controlling other people. Along the way, he also described, and I'm not kidding, along the way, he also described trans kids. And look, you know, you can talk to lots and lots and lots of trans people out there, and they'll tell you it wasn't something that they just woke up one day when they were 34 and realized, oh, well, I'm trans. That it has, in one form or another, been with them all their life. And I would submit to you that it's... It's got to be a challenge. And I, for one, am glad that we live in, at least to a certain extent, in a time now where kids don't have to be internally tormented. They can just be who they are. That has certainly not been the case in the past. What is it, is it on Amazon? That one sort of, is it comedy? Is it a dramedy? Transparent? Where, you know, the lead character comes out, you know, in his 60s or something? Well... kids now have an opportunity to live a normal and functional life as the gender that they are, not the gender that is forced upon them by checking off boxes on government forms. But yes, Jeff Mateer, who may very soon be an actual sitting Article 3 constitutional federal district judge for the Eastern District of Texas, said that little transgender children are evidence of Satan's plan. You gotta wonder about the manifest evil of a person who will judge children that way. This guy in his past has opposed expansion of non-discrimination protections to LGBT people in the city of Plano. You might recall it was Plano where, on the first day of the NFL season, a non-gay, non-trans, non-nothing but just plain old straight guy went to the home of his former wife, shot his Freedom Protector NRA-approved, not a weapon, tool for self-defense 9 times and killed 8 people. Yeah. That Plano. But what was Jeff Mateer worried about? He was worried about the fact that people businesses, business owners, employers, he was worried about the idea that maybe they couldn't fire somebody for just being gay. Or that they couldn't can somebody because of how they dress or what gender they identify with. In Colorado, a public school's been sued because a first grader, and I forget the sex. No, you don't forget the sex, Mateer. You think about the sex all the damn time, and that's the damn problem. She's a girl who thinks she's a boy, or a boy who thinks she's a girl. It's probably that, a boy who thinks she's a girl. The school said, well, she's not using the girls' restroom, and so she's now sued to have a right to go in. Can we just have a sort of human experience thought moment here? Before... this entire problem, talk about modern problems, this entire Christian obsession with where people go potty is entirely a product of modern-day plumbing. Yeah, I'm not talking about biology. I'm talking about, you know, goddamn plumbing. Mm-hmm. Because there was... back in our hunter-gatherer days, there was no women's bushes versus men's bushes. You had to go, you got up, you went. The place where I live now, once upon a time, well, when this place was built in 1937, it did not have, and this doesn't make it more or less than a hell of a lot of other places in Appalachia, it didn't have an indoor bathroom, an indoor toilet. It had a privy. It had a hole in the ground with a little shack built over it. And it was not labeled men's nor women's. It was just where you went when you had to deal with the waste elimination process that is inherent in the human animal. But thanks to modern plumbing, and, you know, you can kind of blame this on the Romans, I guess. They had indoor plumbing, and most particularly they had baths, public baths. And they segregated the baths. They segregated men and women. And their public toilets were segregated as well. And gosh, what a delightful thought this is. They provided a little stream of water running through the middle of the restroom, and a number of sticks with wet sponges attached to them. And that was what you wiped your bum with. And then you stuck it back in the water, so it would be reasonably clean for the next... Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I sometimes forget that this program happens during the dinner hour for some people. Oopsie. But that's their obsession. And as a result of people wanting to be who they are, we're going to have a federal district judge on the bench in the Eastern District of Texas who doesn't have any business being so much as a goddamn justice of the peace, who thinks that little children, little trans kids, are evidence of Satan's plan to undermine Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Uh-huh. Yes. Maybe remember that name, Jeff Mateer. Jeff Mateer. Soon you'll be calling him Judge, Federal U.S. District Judge Jeff Mateer. Because, see, there's not a single Republican in the United States Senate who will say, gosh, I don't think we need a guy on the federal bench, regardless of my conservative family values principles. I don't think that we need a guy on the bench who has prejudged trans kids to be part of Satan's plan. Nope. Because that's just how, you know, Republicans are. Party over people, y'all. Mm-hmm. So I figured, just got a note from Arnold. Well, I was hungry. I'm a diet plan. Who knew? And by the way, with 20 minutes before the hour, a note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa, who says, being a man of the cloth, I'm sure you won't mind if I slide this seed faith into the velvet-lined brass-plated cast-iron collection plate as it makes its way around the pews. I'm looking to find two, or preferably four, brethren and or sistren with strong enough faith who are each willing to invest $33.33 of their hard-earned dineros in the religion industry so we can lick today's fundraising for Jesus. Not like any of us need the moolah. We's all going to get raptured this upcoming Sabbath anyways. Saturday. Oh, you must be one of those Seventh-day Adventurers, Brother Deacon Asa. Mm-hmm. So there it is, a challenge on the table. Brother Deacon Asa looking for brethren and sistren at $33.33 each to join him in finishing fundraising for this here prayer meeting Wednesday. The plate will keep passing. What else? Oh, lots. Lots and lots. We should probably check in and just see how the love that passeth all understanding is doing these days. I mentioned the police killing of Scout Schultz, a young gender-inspecific individual and president of the Georgia Tech Pride Alliance last weekend. There was no direct and proximate threat to any police officer. They outnumbered Scout Schultz by at least 4-1. And Scout Schultz was deemed to be a life-threatening danger because of a multi-tool in their hand. Mm-hmm. But the death of a trans person is always a moment for high praise and glory to a Christian like Theodore Chabot. Get the hockey puck, and you know, try not to go into a complete and total blind rage, because this is pretty infuriating.
Was the officer right in killing this guy? Was this sodomite really holding a knife? Was he really holding a gun? In my opinion, it really doesn't matter, because this sodomite should have been shot anyway. So let's say he wasn't holding a knife. Let's say he wasn't holding a gun. Let's say he didn't want to harm or kill any of those officers. He was just doing it for publicity. That alone is justification enough to kill this guy. Him being a sodomite, his homosexuality, his perversion, let's not call it homosexuality, because it makes it sound scientific, makes it sound technical. His perversion.
Wait a damn minute. Makes it sound technical? Like Theodore Chabot's over there sitting on the sidelines saying, in this round of sodomy, we've got a 7.1. We've got an 8.2. We've got a 6.7. And from Theodore Chabot, a 2.3. And from the Russian judge, 1.0. Right. Technical.
Was dangerous enough, and it was justification enough to kill this freak.
Freak.
So what if he didn't have a gun? Let's say he didn't have a gun. Let's say he didn't have a weapon or a knife. He was already a danger to society because of his perversity. And so I think it was absolutely right for this officer to kill this freak. And I hope that... I hope more and more officers are given the opportunity to kill these freaks. That's what I will say. And this is what needs to be happening anyway. There needs to be a law that says that homosexuality is a danger to the society, and therefore those who push homosexuality and those who participate in this perversity are indeed worthy of death.
Worthy of death. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Christianity. I present to you a man who believes that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, that the Virgin Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, that he was born and laid in a manger, that he was sanctified and mutilated according to Mosaic law, that he grew up, that he learned the Torah, that he preached for 3 years, that he was betrayed, arrested, crucified, and that on the third day he rose from the dead, and after a while he rose up into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of his Father, God. In other words, Theodore Chobot believes everything Christianity says that he has to believe in order to go to heaven when he dies and be a saint. He believes everything that a Roman Catholic believes. He believes everything that a Greek Orthodox or a Russian Orthodox or a Syrian Orthodox has to believe. He believes everything that the Church of Christ has to believe. He believes everything that the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the Whiskey Episcopalians have to believe, because he's a Christian just like they are. Ecce Christianity. Behold the love that passeth all understanding. Theodore Chobot's not a Klansman. Theodore Chobot is not a neo-Nazi. You'll never catch him marching around with a swastika on his arm. Neither will you catch him with a hood on his head. But, brethren and sistren, there ain't a dime's worth of difference. Those who push homosexuality and those who participate in his perversity are indeed worthy of death. And of course, with every passing day, we get a little closer to the world Theodore Chobot wants to live in. We're going to have a guy I just shared with you. We're going to have a guy on the federal bench in Texas who thinks like Theodore Chobot thinks. Theodore Chobot says it doesn't even matter if a sodomite is actually doing sodomite stuff. He wants to live in a world where the cops can just come up and kill him on suspicion. This is the kind of guy who probably masturbates during The Handmaid's Tale. And lo and behold, I said that, and at the very same moment, I get an email from Kelly saying, "This man sounds like he just watched The Handmaid's Tale." Oh, he not only watched it, Kelly, he digs it. He wants to live in that world. Because that's the Handmaid's Tale world is the only world he's ever going to get laid in. Yeah, unless, of course, he's, you know, caught back there, you know, down in the library restroom or the airport restroom, you know. snapping his fingers and tapping his toes. Gets caught snorting meth off a gay hooker's butt, you know. Oh, I was witnessing. I was just getting ready to murder the sodomites. What I was doing. Well, what are you, Theodore? What are you doing with a man in your mouth, buddy? I still miss Bart Cop. I really, really do. But this is the problem with hate. And this is the problem with our brutally, liberally applied ideas relative to the First Amendment. Speaking of the First Amendment, let's do a little compare and contrast, shall we? Now, here you've got the First Amendment religious liberties of Theodore Chabot protected as he calls for the police to be able to slaughter people that they perceive to be gay, that they judge to be gay. Okay? That's what he's doing. There's no mistake about it. He was not at all equivocal in any way. They are indeed worthy of death, he said. And I just want to point out that his speech is protected by our perverse understanding, our perverse interpretation of the First Amendment. I say perverse because there are, in fact, perfectly civilized, perfectly free countries where this isn't tolerated. You know, our perverse understanding of freedom of speech has led us to the point where people, even in a town like Seattle, and I say even, and that's probably needs some qualifiers about it, but even in a town like Seattle, you've got people who feel free and easy enough about being Nazis now that they just walk the streets with their goddamn black leather and their Nazi armbands on their arm. And then somebody comes along and punches the Nazis' lights out, and all of a sudden you've got a bunch of goddamn hand wringing and pearl clutching going on all over America about, oh, what a shame the Nazi got punched out. Ooh, oh, what a pity. Oh, left wing violence. Oh, I've got an uncle in the ground that I never got to meet who died fighting Nazis. Fuck off, pearl clutchers. So, like I said, compare and contrast. What you just heard, what I just played for you, unedited, courtesy of our friends over at Right Wing Watch, is protected speech in the United States of America. So let's look at some other protected speech. This story is a day old. You remember back when Comrade Kumquat, when he got his first Muslim ban rolled up, turned sideways, and shoved right back up his ass by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. You remember that? And he talked about the liberal 9th Circuit, the liberal 9th Circuit that hates America. And made his little anus mouth face. Well, let's see what the U.S. 9th Circuit Court of Appeals, the most liberal circuit court in all of Merca, has been up to lately. Well, a little case went up, and it arises out of San Francisco. Oh, it must be nice to live in San Francisco. It arises out of San Francisco because the city government of San Francisco, which, like any other government, is far from perfect, Well, the city of San Francisco passed an ordinance. And that ordinance required a labeling. A labeling. No, no, it didn't say that Christians can be hazardous to your health or anything. No, it's not that. It's not a prayer meeting Wednesday story. This is just a compare and contrast story. The city of San Francisco passed an ordinance back in June of 2015 that said that anybody inside San Francisco who wanted to advertise pop, soda pop, Coke, Pepsi, 7-Up, Mountain Dew, Orange Crush, Kick, I don't even think Kick exists anymore, Frosty brand root beer. Did I say 7-Up? Sprite. Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. No, 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 not diet. Okay, the non-diet stuff. They required a label, a warning label. And the warning label was to let people know that consuming high sugar beverages contributed. Here's some goddamn left-wing, anti-American, communist, socialist, radical liberalism for you. The warning label was to let people know that the consumption of high sugar beverages contributes to a range of health problems, including but not limited to obesity, diabetes, and tooth decay. Mm-hmm. Well, this will not stand. No, no, it won't. Because the American Beverage Association, stand up when you say that and face the flag. The American Beverage Association and the California Retailers Association went to court and sued the city of San Francisco for having the audacity to dare to suggest that people ought to be told that drinking a shit ton of sugar or high fructose corn syrup, which is not the same as, but they try to tell you is, drinking a shit ton of high sugar beverages will make you fat, diabetic, and make your teeth, rot in your head. This was intolerable to the American Beverage Association and the California Retailers Association. Now, bear in mind that association is not causation, but at the same time that consumption of soda pop has shot through the roof, lo and behold, we've got an obesity, diabetes, and tooth decay problem in this country. Imagine that. All right. And so the American Beverage Association, those great Americans, went to court saying that, along with the California Retailers Association, saying that their freedom of speech, their First Amendment freedoms to lie to people, were being trampled by the city of San Francisco. All those homosexual water drinkers. Jesus Christ. No, they did. They said that their freedom of speech was being trampled by the city of San Francisco, who simply wanted a warning label saying, you know what? If you drink a whole lot of this shit, it's not good for you. And it made its way all the way up to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, sitting there in San Francisco. A 3-judge panel yesterday decided unanimously, as in 3-0, that the U.S. District Court was wrong when it refused to grant a temporary injunction on the labeling law pending trial. The Ninth United States Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the warning about sugary beverages was misleading and deceptive. Now, get that. A science-based warning is misleading and deceptive in regard to the subject about which it warns, in which the in which the companies advertise that this stuff is essentially harmless. But the science is misleading and deceptive, not the claims, which are abject lies, of the companies that produce the crap. Coke, to quote a former advertising campaign, does not add life. It may be fairly said to detract from it, and to certainly inhibit the quality thereof. The court, in its wisdom, liberals, said the warning is required exclusively on advertisements for sugar-sweetened beverages and not on advertisements for other products with equal or greater added amounts of added sugars and calories. Another plaintiff in the suit was the California State Outdoor Advertising Association, which wanted some of that advertising goodness and was afraid that their wallets would be hurt if Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all the Dr. Pepper and whatever. There's no pepper in Dr. Pepper. Were forced to add the warning labels. Really? I mean, this is the reasoning of the most liberal circuit court in Merca? Honestly? See, this is further proof of something that I've said for a very long time. Namely, and to wit, that when it comes to the money, there is no such thing in this country as a liberal court. They are each and every one of them, down to the last man and woman, the last judge, the last magistrate. They are as conservative as army ants when it comes to protecting capitalism. So to recap, Theodore Chabot has freedom of speech to call for the summary execution by police of anyone that the police deems gay or trans, because they're not the same thing. And the manufacturers of sugar-laden beverages, who have managed to produce a generation of diabetics, frankly, they have the freedom to advertise as they see fit anywhere in this country and say whatever they want. And even the most liberal circuit court in the entire nation will back them up on it. Nazis can call for the elimination of Jews, Muslims, homosexuals, trans people, Methodists, and they're okay too. And the rest of us, We just get to sort of live in fear and hope one of them doesn't decide to act on their homicidal fantasies. Man, that is some freedom. And if a bunch of college kids happen to protest and do so sufficiently at the incitement of, say, an Ann Coulter or some other little right-wing turd, that it becomes a problem. Wow, that's left-wing violence, and that's suppression of the freedom of expression that our forefathers fought and died for in the Constitution. Bullshit. Merca. Mm-hmm. So there's our, here endeth the message. And we'll take a little break, see what's on your mind. Thanks very kindly to our buddy Keith for jumping in and knocking out a third of one of the four people that Brother Deacon Asa is looking to find to make that, seed faith offering in the velvet-lined, brass-plated, cast-iron collection plate making its way through the pews. Thank you very kindly, Keith. So we've got $165 to raise on the evening, and if Brother Deacon Asa's challenge is met with another $23.33 plus three more $33.33, this will be done with fundraising for the evening, and wouldn't that be lovely? Yes, it would. And by the way, I mentioned that Nazi who got lightsed out in Seattle. Brother Deacon Asa tells me, Seattle, I saw two Confederate flag-bearing skinheads yesterday walking around at our largest shopping mall right here in Vancouver. Lord Jeebus is my witness. I ain't kidding. Well, see, you got to let them do that because you got to let them have their freedom of speech. Or else we won't be free no more if we can't let the Nazis holler kill the Jews and let the Klan holler lynch the... You okay? Yeah. Right. Note from Robert in Australia. I did a quick check. Survey released Tuesday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Based on the 2013 NHIS data collected in 2013 from 34,557 adults aged 18 and over, 96.6% of adults identified as straight, 1.6% identified as gay or lesbian, 0.7% identified as bisexual, the remaining 1.1% of adults identified as something else, 0.2% stated, I don't know the answer, 0.4% refused to provide an answer, that's 0.6%. More specifically, 1.8% of men self-identify as gay and 0.4% as bisexual, and 1.5% of women self-identify as lesbian and 0.9% as bisexual. In a country of 300 million people where 1.6% identified as gay or lesbian, that's about 5 million gay and lesbian Americans. So this guy wants Americans to have its very own Holocaust? You said it, Robert, but let's get this done professionally.
You dick!
Exactly. That for Brother Showbot. Robert also pointing out, in India, Coca-Cola has been ordered to shut down operations in a city and for using too much water and violating pollution laws. And in Mexico, Coca-Cola sucks wells dry in Chiapas, forcing residents to buy water. Coke adds life. Meanwhile, a note from Steve on the Gulf Coast. Crazy religion, crazy. These people are incapable of distinguishing between thoughts and deeds. That's what scares me, Steve. I believe their bizarre beliefs are neurologically and genetically significant, and someday the scientific evidence will conclusively establish the pathology. This has probably already happened, but culture and institution foil the general acknowledgement continually. There is a vast literature that finds most psychoses originating primarily in problems with language and the processing of linguistic elements anyway, voices in the head and so forth. Think about it. If you're incapable of distinguishing between the constant babble of words in your brain and the acts which correspond to the babble, a holy book or religious creed amounts to something like a user's manual for trying to negotiate the general insanity of everything happening around and within you. Pretty creepy. If you're not at least a casual scientist in this age, at any rate, you're likely much sicker than a bad scientist. And the only, you know, anybody else behaves like Theodore Chabot does, we're going to say that, you know, maybe they're a little sketchy in the mental health department, but Theodore Chabot says it. Oh, no, he's just engaging in protected First Amendment religious freedom. That's all. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. David says, tonight I can hear you clearly. Thanks for whatever adjustment you made. It's nice. That's the funny thing. I didn't adjust anything. It's just an old voice processor that works sometimes and an old microphone that works better sometimes than it does others. So we'll just call this a little prayer meeting miracle, shall we? Thanks, David. And so, so we'll take a break. And, see what's going on and come back and maybe clear the religious decks and deal with some real news. I don't know. We'll just some of this is so loopy it's hard to It's hard to walk away from it. It's like watching it. Never mind. So we'll just keep the plate passing and try to get all the way to that $175 mark. Hopefully, Brother Keith will get some company. And we'll move into other realms as we come back on the other side. 12 minutes past the hour. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Have you tried Great God Almighty Guava? Great God Almighty Guava? Well, you know what guavas are like. It'll be like that for you, too. Only from Horn Lab.
I met her in the club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola, C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A, Lola, la 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 la. Spine, oh my Lola, la 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 la.
can't wait for my Lola. La 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 la. Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's up my Lola. La 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 la.
It's not every song out there that makes mention of maybe a trans issue and soda pop in the same song, making that a perfect bumper for the previous hour. I'm just glad her name wasn't, you know, like Luann or Marvelline, because you never would have been able to rhyme cola with it, and where would we have been this evening? So isn't it funny the way time just works out in our fluid little universe? Yes. 17 minutes past the hour on this prayer meeting Wednesday here on the Horn. I am, of course, Bob Kincaid and Mark. I know what I am as a man, and so is Marvelina. Wait a minute. I'm awarding myself a cowbell for that. Okay, one last stupid religion industry story, just because sometime attention must be paid. These people are so desperate to find evidence to support faith, and understand, you know, that's the thing about religion. You either believe it or you don't. There's no hard evidence for it, and there never can or will be. You either believe or you don't believe. It's just like magic. It's just like astrology. It's not subject to empirical proof. But that sure don't stop them. Let's check in with Rick Joyner. This is delightful. You know, not in a nice or pleasant way, but in a great, great googly moogly, aren't these some freaking Looney Tunes, that way. So you know that recently the Cleveland Indians' major league record-breaking winning streak came to an end at the hands of the Kansas City Royals. I know, for instance, that probably tickled Hoghead over there in the Horn chat room. Hoghead's not in there this evening, but I'm sure it did. Thank you, Arthur. I think Arthur says, I'm not bragging, not saying, just saying, times 10, Bob choosing perfect cola trans bumper. Don meanwhile says, love that bumper, never connected the lyrics. Don in West Tennistan. All those long midnight shifts behind the board have got to be for something. But anyway, they're a weird lot, and they find evidence playing records backwards and all kinds of goofy shit. So lo and behold, wait a minute, more mail. Well, okay.
Now the Horn research staff is on it. Marvelline rhymes with orange cream. Don't try. Just don't try. We're going to have open source parody writing before we know it. But no, even a baseball team's winning streak can be co-opted by the upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual religion industry. He actually posted, and this is the best part. Well, let me save the best part.
But is this prophetic, what's going on in Cleveland? You know, I know Lou Engel and the call and, oh, they just did a big event up there because of a prophetic word about Cleveland that came from Bob Jones years ago. It's connected to many other cities, including our city, Charlotte, also.
And the Lord did say, go ye unto the Ephraimites and tell ye the Ephraimites to take the small spheroid object, yea, verily, and to never throw the hanging curveball, and yea, verily, to have a really, really quick guy at shortstop and a guy at second who can turn the double play as fast as you can say Jehoshaphat and get it over to first in time to beat the batter down to the... Oh, my God. Is this a word of prophecy?
Atlanta, Nashville, other cities that are included in that prophecy, but there was a sense that what started was going to start in Cleveland. And anyway, I was just talking to Gordon Pennington when I was driving down here.
You know, it's moments like this that I really miss the liquor. I mean, the yogurt's good and everything, but this would be so much more fun with a goddamn margarita in my hand. Screw them, but fuck the blender. Just hand me the Rotgut tequila bottle, the one with the rooster on it. I'll play it again!
And he had the same sense. Something, you know, there's really a tremendous rise going on. But, you know, does baseball reflect that?
He's going to say, I don't know. I bet you he's going to say, I don't know. See, this is the problem they've got. They don't have Barack Obama to kick around and swear up and down that he's the Antichrist who's going to take everybody's God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, homosexual, fundamentalist guns away. So they wind up talking about winning streaks in baseball.
You know, I believe there's signs. I'm just, you know, kind of pulling for the Cleveland Indians this year. And I think there's something on this streak, too, that is prophetic. 22 is 11-11. Isaiah 11-11 talks about the Lord giving us another chance.
Does it? Well, let's look that up, shall we? Naturally, we'll have to do it in the King James Version because that's... because the Lord God Almighty. By the way, have you tried Great God Almighty Guava from Horn Labs? Great God Almighty Guava will probably enhance your prophetic capabilities. Great God Almighty Guava, only from Horn Labs. Let's check in the KJV. So, ISIAH 11:11 KJV. Yeah. Here we go. Isaiah 11:11, which is 22, which is the number of ball games, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left, not right, from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea and from Cleveland. Son of a bitch, really? No, the Cleveland part's not there, sorry. And yea, verily, they shall turn the double play, and yea, verily, they shall engage in the double steal, and yea, verily, they shall hit and run with great success. No, that's not in there either. Wow, this is good stuff. Here.
And And I think he has, and I think he is.
Has what and is what? Well, that we'll leave that up to the prophets. No, here's the punchline. Almost immediately after Rick Joyner posted his little video trying to credit Almighty God with the Cleveland Indians winning streak instead of the talent and dogged determination of those baseball players, you know, even the ones who can't come to bat without making the sign of the cross to make sure Jesus is watching them instead of, you know, maybe keeping some little kid from getting buried in a fucking earthquake in Mexico. Even those guys. Well, the streak ended. The streak ended after Rick Joyner pointed out that God was starting something in Cleveland. And apparently the thing that God started in Cleveland was losing. Oops. Can't make this stuff up, but I am grateful every now and then, and we get something that we can legitimately laugh at instead of having to sort of sit there and sit here in horrifying shock listening to some Christian calling for gay people to be murdered on sight. Let's run over and check in with Clarity. Hey, Clarity. Clarity.
No, I was feeding Toto.
Oh, okay. And Toto and Toto's having dinner too?
Yeah, she's having tuna syrup, squash rinds, and her normal dog chow. So she's having a 3-course dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought that was very profound that Isaiah saw in the future that all them Dominicans and Cubans were going to come to Cleveland and set all them records and, you know, the people from the islands.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm sure he was speaking of the Cubans and the Dominicans. I don't think there's any Haitians playing in the major leagues right now, but
there's a fair amount of Venezuelans, I think.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
yeah.
maybe some Puerto Ricans.
But the reason I called today, Bob, was I just realized that, you know, 20 years ago, I was in the crosshairs of B1 Bob Dornan being a bisexual and, you know, being a vector and cause of the whole AIDS epidemic. And now, you know, I'm in the crosshairs again because, you know, I'm one of them switching people, you know, get out of mail free card, you know.
I didn't realize that's what that was, a get-out-of-mail-free card. Time out, Clarity. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, well, the first time I heard it kind of hurt, but now I realize that, gee, they're making fun of me. So at least I'm making somebody laugh.
I don't come from the same place you do, but that doesn't sound like that sounded like something you would have come up with to describe it yourself. You know, getting away from the testosterone fueled misery that, you know, it made your life for so long.
Well, and I can't afford a truck. I can't afford a horse. I can't even afford the damn boots that these fellas are wearing. So I just, you know, ask all my sisters to pass their clothes on that they've outgrown, and so far I've acquired a nice wardrobe. Pretty much free of charge, much above my, you know, my actual actuarial financial state. You know, I dress quite well. I don't actually look like a cross dresser. I try to dress like a, you know, a respectable woman, mm-hmm. not to expose too much flesh, and you know, that way I'm not.
You eschew the whole Whore of Babylon look. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and I don't want to appeal to the prurient interests of the cisgendered and the straightophile, because then I'm open season for, you know, trans bashing, trans elimination moves. So I just don't want to, you know, I know I'm in the crosshairs, but it's a congressional crosshair. It's not a someone sighting in their hunting rifle, you know, kind of crosshair.
Right.
And, you know, it's hunting season here out west. Probably most of North America right now, I guess.
What, deer season?
Yeah.
No, we won't get deer season till the till Thanksgiving week here.
Okay, yeah, they start deer and well, then I mean, elk okay, starts.
October we'll get bow season. But, I mean, you know, taking out your Freedom Protector 30-06 and going and blowing away a deer, you don't get to do that till Thanksgiving week.
Well, isn't that un-American?
Well, the school system tries to make it work out. So it's kind of like Easter week. You get all of Easter week off in West Virginia. We also, a lot of school systems here in West Virginia just say, fuck it, and give the kids Thanksgiving, the entire Thanksgiving week off. When I was a kid growing up in Alabama, we got Thursday and Friday off and back at it on Monday. But here, you get the week.
Well, they're starting to bump off Wednesdays now, adding Wednesday on because of people traveling and stuff, you know, not having to drive on Thanksgiving. They're justifying that because before it was like a half day Thanksgiving Eve, and he said, well, we just chisel off that other half, we can get a 5-day weekend. So that's some of the school districts are doing that.
Yeah, and the school districts here realize it's just it's an act of futility. Why have school if nobody's going to be there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like I was just commenting to a friend of mine back east that, as I recollect now, for going on 10, 11 months now, I haven't felt like there's anybody that's looking out much for me now, you know. We're just playing, you know, trying to slow them down. That's about the best we can hope for in Congress and, you know, put something under their wheel so they don't roll quite so fast as they're going downhill in this mad dash to simplify the tax code, so to speak. You know.
Hey, look, professional talker here.
You need a drink, Bob.
I probably do.
Yeah.
I've still got the swirly straw. I just ain't got the tequila. But can we just... I would feel much better, Clarity, if we could just stop all the bullshit pretense and let these poor Republicans just say what they want. And in a way, in a fiscal, economic, policy way, just come out. I mean, you're somebody who can speak to the cleansing effects of coming out. Every out gay person in this country can talk about how cleansing it was to finally come out. Yep. And these hypocritical Republican closet cases, latent types, would probably feel the same way, but they also get a thrill out of the risk, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. I want the Republican Party to just come out and say what it is that they are and what it is that they want. And what I mean by that is I want them to just announce that they want to eliminate all taxes for everyone who is them.
There you go.
I mean, let's quit this bullshit pretense of saying, well, you know, the corporate tax rate at 35% is entirely too high. We need to move it down to 14.37928%. And then, because there's not a corporation in the United States of America, Clarity, that pays 35%. That's what the goddamn loopholes are for.
No, it's the effective rate is nil for the biggest companies.
The effective rate is you get a check back.
Yeah.
If you recall the Enron debacle, it turned out those fuckers hadn't paid taxes since God was a baby, and we gave them money. Same thing with GE. Okay? So, you know, let's stop the pretense. I just want to hear the Republican Party say, we want to eliminate taxation for us, for all the wealthy people, And we want you little fuckers who don't have any power, we want you to carry us. Period. We're into wealth transfer. We want to transfer it from you to us. End of story. Just say it. And then you know, we can carry on a viable, meaningful debate on the issue, because you cannot have a meaningful debate as long as one side is lying every time they open their mouth. And as long as the Republican Party continues to say that they think there's some level of acceptable taxation for them, they're lying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just danced all over your nickel.
No, that's all right. And the only person that is even coming close to saying that is, I think, Jeff Merkley's talking about it that way. And he's pushing for single, you know, Medicare for all, which honestly would be fiscally responsible. But, you know, there is a twist of, you know, saying that, oh, these insurance companies are backing out of these markets because they just can't make any money. It's like, no, they're just not making as much money as they used to, or they could if all these loopholes that, you know, they can't jump through anymore. They can't overcharge somebody. You know, we'll give you insurance, but as soon as you have a claim, we want it. We'll just cut you off.
Right, and the CEOs are pissed off. One of the things, and it doesn't get a lot of play, but one of the things that pissed off the insurance industry the very most about the Affordable Care Act was limitations on CEO salaries, and limitations on advertising, and limitations on administrative cost.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're mad that, you know, the CEO of Aetna Health or what the hell ever is pissed off because he can't get a $10 million Christmas bonus anymore that's based on how many claims that some goddamn adjuster 15 levels down managed to deny over the course of a year. Because that's a fact. Health insurance claims adjusters used to get paid bonuses based upon the number of claims that they denied.
Exactly. Well, and I think, I can't remember what the threshold was. I think it was they had to put 85% of their net into care and treatment, and only 15% could go to salaries, administrative, blah,
Precisely.
Blah, blah.
Precisely.
But you look at other industries, the restaurant, you know, a good restaurant, if they make 10%, and some of them are down to 1% and 2%, you know, profits per year. Grocery is a small, very small margin. If they had a 15% margin in grocery, they would be, you know, they would be building stores as fast as we're building hospitals, you know. So it's really disingenuous that the health insurance companies, which aren't being able to make a profit. That is so much BS. I think there's still some resistance to this new quote unquote Trump care reform because there are insurance companies that have gotten used to the subsidies for some of the people that they have to cover in those states, you know. And it's, you know, there's more states that took the Medicare option than not. You know, I think it's 31
Yeah, absolutely.
States.
And the states that took the Medicaid option are the ones that are punished first.
Exactly. Oh, Oregon, what's his name? Jeff Beauregard was in Portland yesterday.
Oh, I know. Yeah, United States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III actually went to Portland and told y'all to quit giving out, quit being sanctuary cities, you bunch of heathens. Jesus don't like it.
Well, the whole West Coast, California's working on right now, making the whole damn state a sanctuary. And keep the business owners from turning people into ICE, you know, giving privacy to people, because people are just trying to work and, you know, stay alive. And if they have, you know, they got to look behind their back every time they turn around, they're not going to go to authorities when they see crimes because they don't want to expose themselves. And that's part of the reason behind the sanctuary is that once everybody's afraid, crime goes up because people aren't reporting it.
There's a flaw in that reasoning, of course.
Well, there is somewhat, but the other side of it that, you know, we're protecting all these felons and the Sheriff's Association of California is against it because, well, there's people that have multiple DUIs, and we should be getting them off the road because they're killing people.
Well, shit, that's an administrative proceeding, not a...
Yes, and you don't need ICE for that. They don't need ICE to bust somebody for a DUI.
Right.
You know, the sheriffs, sometimes they have the most bucolic attitudes towards, you know, law enforcement, that if, you know, you give somebody civil rights, then all of a sudden they can't do their job anymore when they are sworn to protect the Constitution. When they take the badge, they raise their hand and say, I'm sworn to protect, you know, observe the Constitution of the state of California and the United States Constitution. So help me God. What are they doing now?
There you go.
And they're only second. I think there's maybe third. The prison guards are the number one lobbyist in California. Second is the teachers union. And then third is the sheriff's union. So, you know, those are big lobbies. But the teachers union is against, you know, repealing DACA. They know what effect it has on the kids.
Sure it does. Exactly. Exactly.
And if the kids can't attend school, what's their hope of ever being a good citizen when, you know, they do get the chance to.
Well,
you
right.
Know?
But if you keep them nice and illiterate, you can it becomes easier to enslave them. You know, yeah. there was a reason why it was a damn near a felony to be caught teaching slaves to read in the Old South.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to add one more little twist into the whole healthcare situation, the Republicans are also looking at making it absolutely, positively illegal for a state to set up its own single payer system on its own, outside of the federal government. So all of a sudden, those states' rights Republicans, they ain't so fond of states' rights no more.
So that's rolled into the Trump care thing, too, is taking away autonomy from the states.
Oh, yeah. Because okay. if the states want to use states' rights to deny people of the wrong skin tone the right to vote, well, then states' rights is important. But if a state wants to use states' rights to make sure that everybody in the state can go to the doctor when they're sick, well, by God, that's communism, and that's got to be stopped. That's treason.
Well, and the block grant crap, you know, makes health care discretionary by, you know, the legislature and the governors of those states. They want to spend it on, you know, a Chris Christie Memorial Bridge or a, you know, Mo Kaufman, Steve Kennedy, you know.
Yeah, or just you know, hire a special secretary of thumbtacks and paperweights and paperclips for, you know, $500,000 a year, and the hell with people's health care because it's discretionary. And this, you know, this stuff is very real to me. I'm not kidding when I say I'm uninsured. I'm not kidding when I say that I'm going to have to dig into my pocket just to be able to see a doctor long enough to have my prescriptions re-upped tomorrow. That's not a joke. That's America. Okay.
Yeah.
And I may be one of the very few people. I know there are a couple of others maybe, but I'm one of the very few people who's in this line of work, who can say that I know exactly what that feels like.
It's
and it's terrifying.
Personal. It's personal.
You're goddamn right it's personal, Clarity.
Yeah, you're not talking about it abstractly like Hannity or one of those screwballs on Fox, you know, talking about as if they know what it's like to be poor or even a, you know, working class. They have no idea what that's about.
You know, the fact of the matter is When open enrollment rolls around, I'm going to see if I can, you know, if we've still got an ACA for me to open enroll under. I'm going to see what it's going to cost for me to get me some for-profit insurance. Okay? But I've already been told by one listener, at least, that I have no damned right to tax the Horn community so that I can pay for insurance. So I guess I just need to sell apples or pencils or something or, you know, whatever. And, you know, and meanwhile, you know, we scrape and struggle just to raise what it takes to keep this on the air and all the plates spinning in the first place. So if, you know, if come December, I say, I just found out how much it's going to cost me to have insurance and it's going to be $2,000 a month. And I say the fundraising goal is now increased every month by $2,000. Might as well go off the air. Because it ain't gonna happen. And so, ever since I found out what I found out in the spring, Clarity, and wait a minute, let me check something. No? Let me try to get Clarity back. Ever since I found out in the spring, late winter, what I found out. Namely that I need a bunch of abdominal surgery, which not, it doesn't, how can, and I don't say this as a form of, oh, poor pitiful me. I say this in solidarity with a whole hell of a lot of other people who are in the same boat. Virtually every member of the working poor in the Confederate States of America is in the same boat. Bust your ass day in and day out and can't go to the doctor when you're sick. If you do go to the doctor, you got to put cash on the barrel head. And if you need actual surgery or something like that, fuck it and hope for the best. I mean, we're in the middle of September. And again, I want to reiterate, I'm not trying to elicit sympathy. I don't want it. I don't care about it. I want my country to be a better country than it currently is, because my country right now is goddamn brutal when it comes to the health care needs of the citizenry. Not its citizenry, but the citizenry. You know, we the people. And about the only way I've figured to get through it is to just try to not think about the fact that you're a dead man walking every day of the goddamn week, month, and year. And not to try to flip out every time some lightning bolt of pain runs through your innards. And not to wonder if what laid you low in February is coming back. And whether if it comes back this time, it's the last time. And no, this is not this is not a big fundraising pitch either. I know what my reality is. And it's the same reality that obtains for millions and millions and millions of American citizens. For men, for women, for young, for old, for middle-aged, for children. And so I understand why Jimmy Kimmel went on the air last night and said, you know, Senator Cassidy of Louisiana sat on my set and lied to my face. Because he did. Charlie Pierce today over at Esquire.com Politics referred to the Republican Party as a death cult. and they are. They are coming for you, and they're coming for me, and they're coming for all of us. Every last one of us whom they do not deem to be integral or useful in the pursuit of their partisan political goals can just go die. And if I, a white middle-aged male, am saying this, I can only begin with tears and horror to try to imagine what it's like to be someone that doesn't have near the privilege that I have. I mean, I've tried to do things to make things not be as bad as they are. You know, the ongoing yogurt jokes. Well, it's not a joke. I've substantially modified my diet, took off a bunch of weight. I think I'll probably put some back. I'm more scared of the scales tomorrow than I am of the doctor. But it's a hell of a thing. And the Republican Party doesn't care about any individual story any more than they care about the collective misery of the tens of thousands of people for whom they are eager to sign a death warrant. And what Clarity said is true. I take it personally. Because if it does do me in, well, I don't have enough vanity. I don't have the vanity of a Hannity. Rhyming. To think that the earth can't go on without me. The long progress of humanity has proven that there is not a single individual with whom without whom life cannot go on. I accept that. But I do feel sad from time to time. I feel sad because I love life. This is it. It's the only chance you get. Pearly gates my ass. Do it right the first time, because there ain't no second chance. There's no second act in life. And this is not dress rehearsal. When the time comes, you know, being all dead and everything, I won't miss my wife. I won't miss my kids or my grandkids or my friends or my neighbors. But I'll engage in a little bit of hubris and think that maybe once in a while they'll miss me. And in the moment, in the now, it makes me very sad. And the sadness I feel is repeated millions of times over while a bunch of goddamned oligarchs in the Congress and a sociopath in the White House rub their fingers together, gleefully trying to figure out how they're going to give each other more of your money. And that makes me not sad, but furious. Our good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Resources, Tom Price, can't even be bothered to fly first class from Washington, D.C. to Philly. Instead, he needed a $25,000 charter plane for D.C. to Philly. An easy ride on the train, or an easy drive in a bulletproof goddamn government limousine gas-guzzling SUV. And they talk about the unfairness of the tax code. But those are taxpayer dollars that they're just pissing out the window. So, I hope you'll forgive me if that sounded like it was self-pity. It was not intended to come across as such. But I tell you this, to try to put a personal, face on something that you may not hear from unless it's you yourself or someone you love and care about, something you may not necessarily hear from millions of your fellow Americans. Robert in Australia. Subject line, $2,000 a month? What the fuck? Bob, did you say your health insurance would cost $2,000 a month? That would cause riots here in Australia. We think private health insurance already costs too much. I had a quick look at getting basic and hospital cover for me at 59 years old with government rebate and lifetime loading. Here are the top results. $122, $114, $119, $120. Yeah, but see, Robert, you live in a communist country. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, I say that fully aware that that is damned well what a cancerous, hard knot of dead-enders and hard cases, the maggots here in this country, fucking think. And the people who are preaching it the hardest, people in Mississippi and Cassidy in Louisiana, Cornyn and Cruz in Texas, will be returned to office by the very people they are trying to kill. And in that little moment, we see the nature of the dysfunction that is at work in this country. I'd go to Australia in a goddamn minute. But at 54 years old, I'm not the kind of people Australia is interested in unless I'm independently wealthy, and that applies to pretty much the rest of the world. We don't need a wall around this country. This country is its own wall. James with a note regarding clarity. Take it from this retired iron worker, Republican governors ain't building no bridges. And that's the damn truth. Thanks, Frontier. That's what happened to Clarity. Frontier happened to Clarity. Someday we'll have reliable internet around here. Subject line, Zombieland USA. And we are the walking dead. Popular culture has virtually dispensed with Frankenstein and Dracula. I'm serious, since the collective unconscious is real. Regards, Steve, on the Gulf Coast. Robert asks, who the fuck earns enough to just live while paying $24,000 a year for health insurance? And nobody. Note from Arnold, that listener should be wishing you the opposite of what that person did. I hope you find health care, and I hope there's a way we can all make it happen. Anybody begrudging you is a scumbag. Thank you, Arnold. It's not going to happen one way or the other. Brother Deacon Asa points out, you and Clarity are absolutely off your rockers. How's Bill McGuire going to pull $1 billion from the United States, from United Healthcare, if they don't refuse providing health care for cancer-stricken schmucks? Yeah, I know. You know, being prayer meeting Wednesday, there's a line somewhere in the Bible that says it is appointed all to it is appointed unto everyone once to die. But there's nothing in there that says that it's appointed unto everyone to once be killed by their own government. And that's where we are. But you know the groovy thing about attacking sick people? Sick people aren't well enough to pick up the pitchforks and the torches. And right now in this country, we're far too busy. The burners are far too busy picking at the scabs of the Hilarians, and the Hilarians are far too busy picking at the scabs of the burners for anybody to pick up a pitchfork or a torch and get marching against the people who are actually goddamn doing this to us. It's gotten worse. It's damn near impossible to open Twitter for watching some pissed off Hilarian or some pissed off burner, each of whom are absolutely convinced that they are right. What's that old Chinese proverb? If you would seek revenge, dig two graves. Somehow that seems applicable. Earther pointing out, Noam Chomsky refers to the GOP kind of like the way you describe the NRA. The greatest terror organization in the USA, or the greatest threat, something like that. Well, yeah, and in a way, if you want to look at it from an organizational modeling standpoint, you can say that the NRA, let's use the Irish model, that you can say that the GOP is Sinn Féin, and the NRA is the IRA. And there's not going to be a hell of a lot of difference. Thanks, Alma, for meeting part of Brother Deacon Asa's challenge. Now we only need 2 2/3 more folks at 3 2/3 more people at $33.33. So maybe we can get there. Yeah, where religion's concerned, I had a note from our buddy Reverbo. He says it's exactly like you remarked. All religions are a hoax, because if there really was an all-powerful, loving God, there would be lightning bolts a-raining down on him and his ilk 24/7. It's true. It is true. Oodles and oodles and oodles of stuff out there. Comrade Kumquat came up with invented a new country today. First of all, he spoke to African leaders and talked about business in Africa, once again turning a continent into a country. And he said, a lot of my friends are coming to Africa, and they're trying to make it, and they're trying real hard to get rich. So good job, everybody. Good job. Yay, colonialism. Look, it's back. And then he invented a new country. Nambia. No, really. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. Nambia. Nobody really knows what he was talking about, Nambia. Whether he was talking about Namibia or Zambia. Those are actual countries in Africa. But he didn't say Namibia or Zambia. He said Nambia. Maybe it's one of those made-up countries like Fredonia. Jesus God, we're so screwed. Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's fun to keep up with trending hashtags on Twitter. Since we were talking about the glories of the First Amendment earlier, guess what a trending hashtag was on Twitter here in the fairly recent, in the last day or so past? What? You don't know? It was only after complaints from the World Jewish Congress yesterday that Twitter actually finally glacially moved to block a hashtag, Gas the Synagogue. In the aftermath of protests regarding the Stockley murder, the Stockley murder case, Jason Stockley got off scot-free. He was not murdered. Some protesters sheltered within the confines of a synagogue in St. Louis. Now, of course, people with greater rabbinical knowledge, greater Torah scholarship than I will ever know or have, might point out that providing shelter to the oppressed is one of those things you're supposed to do. But yes, when some protesters took shelter inside a synagogue, the hashtag began circulating, Gas the Synagogue. And Twitter, which wouldn't admit that they blocked the hashtag from trending, they wouldn't say that. Oh, no, because then the little Nazi snowflakes might get all upset. The World Jewish Congress said that the Twitter did, in fact, block the hashtag within 24 hours of the request. It all centered around the Central Reform Congregation in St. Louis when they offered refuge to protesters demonstrating, against the Stockley verdict. And the St. Louis police threatened to use gas, weaponized gas weapons against the synagogue. No, really. And the St. Louis police saw no vicious irony in that whatsoever. And so, lo and behold, the Blue Lives Matter types and the fascists started using the hashtag Gas the Synagogue. And, of course, legally, well, there's really nothing government can do because the First Amendment prevents the government from suppressing the free hate speech of Nazis. Right. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa says, get your geography straight, Kincaid. Nambia is a real freaking country. It's right next door to Pambia. Just a little tiny one for that one, Asa. Namby Pambia. You people. Well, okay, yes, Fredonia or the Duchy of Grand Fenwick. There we go. Yep. And we're making fundraising progress. Thank you very kindly. God, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know how to thank you. Robert in Australia says, Bob, I get $2,000 worth of meds per month for $5.60. But while waiting for approval to access that medicine, I had to make do. Bureaucrats move like glaciers, as you know. So I hope you'll accept this little stress reduction donation to put towards your needs tomorrow. I can afford it. Oh, well. No champagne or lobster for me this week. Signed, Robert from Oz. Robert just finished off fundraising for the week. Or not week, no. Robert just finished off fundraising for the evening, and then some. And that means I can actually pay for the damn doctor visit and not dip into the bill paying for the horn. Thank you, Robert. That comes very well. Okay, it is bringing tears to my eyes. It is. Thank you. Let's run over and check in with Charlie in Tennessee. Hey, Charlie.
Well, I'm in Addison, Texas right now.
Are you in Texas? You're not in Tennistan?
No, I'm in Texas Stan.
Oh, God love you. Better thee, but, I guess better thee than me.
Yeah. I'm just about 20 miles north of Dallas, staying in a motel room here till Saturday, and then I fly back to Tennistan.
Flying? What's going on?
I'm down here doing some training on a cash recycler.
Oh, wait. Time out. You can't just throw around phrases like cash recycler. I mean, if there's people throwing away cash out there, I'll be happy to recycle it for them, damn it.
No, this is a machine where you dump your register drawers in the top of it, and it counts out all the change and sets up your register tills and dumps them out the bottom, and you stick it in your drawer and go, and it knows how much.
It's like a Coinstar for retail.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be darned. I didn't know they had those things.
Yep, yeah.
Well, there's one more person who doesn't have a damn job, the till restocker.
Yep. But you were talking, well, not you, but I mean, Sarah Palin was talking about death panels, you know, back whenever the Affordable Care Act was being formulated. And they've had death panels for a long time. My mother died of cancer, and it had migrated into her spine. And if the doctor refused to sign a form saying that she would... if she would live for two more months after a procedure, Medicare wouldn't pay for it. So the death panels have been here a whole lot long. Sarah Palin was, you know, she didn't know what she was talking about because what she was talking about is already here. There's some of the stuff, you know, if the doctors can't keep you alive for so much longer, then Medicare won't pay for it.
Right. And we're not talking about life saving. I mean, we're talking about relatively simple stuff. You're not going to get a liver transplant through Medicaid, I don't think.
No. No, as a matter of fact, what I would like to see is where we made our mistake is whenever we licensed the medical profession. Now you've got a monopoly. You've got these people that go to medical school and earn the title of MD, and they're the only one that can practice the profession. But, you know, it's a monopoly. And these Republicans say that they don't support monopolies. They support the free market. Well, the medical profession is not free market. It's far from it.
Well, no, it's another case of that top-end socialism. And, of course, so, you know, we do Medicaid reimbursements and Medicare reimbursements, and the medical profession is constantly unhappy because they don't think they're making enough money out of the public till for what they do. And from what I know, in many instances, they're not, especially with regard to Medicaid. But again, that's also a function of how high the costs of basic medicine have gone, and it has nothing to do with doctors. It has everything to do with the way we handle the money. It has to do with how much we have to pay administrators and people who, you know, and pharmaceutical reps who walk into your doctor's office with their little black bags and whatnot.
Yeah, kind of like Bill Frist.
Well, there we go.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have private health insurance, but my L1 vertebra was crushed, and I've got a vertebra that's out of line and up between my shoulders. And I went walking into the doctor's office, and they said, "Oh, you've got a sprained back." And so then I went to the emergency room, and they said, "Well, we don't want to waste money on taking x-rays." So then I went to, they sent me to a specialist.
But the thing is, one man's waste is another man's necessity.
Yeah, and I went to a specialist, same thing. I got to see one of his, quote, assistants, a nurse practitioner. And I got charged $50 copay whenever my insurance card plainly says $35 for an office visit, $35 for a specialist. And the receptionist said, no, we charge $50. So I said,
"And you look
well,
at him and go,
said,
I don't give a shit."
And they, you know, they said, "Well, our credit card machine's broken. You'll have to pay us cash." And I said, "Okay, I tell you what." I said, "I'll walk across the street over here." And it was hard for me to walk back then. And I said, "I'll get you $50 cash, but I want a signed, handwritten receipt from you that I paid you $50. And I got one. And
did you send it to your provider?
No, the explanation of benefits came, and I had to call. They weren't even going to reimburse me till I called them, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we owe you $15. And, you know, I mean, this is just the way the medical profession is today.
But Charlie, it's also an outgrowth of the whole corporate model in the United States. You know, and we've got those high blown thinkers up there at the Harvard School of Business to thank for it. They design systems that are purpose driven to take money from you that the corporations do not deserve and which you do not owe, and then they make the system so difficult to navigate that you just give up and let them have the money.
But
that's not just the medical profession; that's everybody.
Yeah, that is true. But I finally went to a doctor that had a real small practice, and she sent me to a spinal specialist, another spinal specialist, and he finally did an x-ray, and they found the crushed vertebra and all that. And so I kept getting letters from the physical therapy people, and I emailed them back, and I said, "I don't know what kind of deal you people have with St. Thomas Medical Group, But I said, I don't want you to ever contact me again. I said, you wanted to do physical therapy, and I have a broken spine. I said, it's just please don't ever contact me again. And so I got a call from my former doctor yesterday, and I told him what happened. I said, your nurse practitioner, I saw her. She wouldn't take an X-ray. I went to the emergency room. They wouldn't take an X-ray. I said, they sent me to a specialist. He wouldn't take an X-ray. And I said, then I went to a chiropractor. And I said, finally, I found another doctor, and she hooked me up with a spinal surgeon. And he found, you know, he did X-rays and MRIs and found the crushed vertebra. And my doctor had the gall to, my former doctor had the gall to say, well, you don't fit the profile of having anything like that. You're not old enough.
I'm a human being, not a goddamn profile.
And, you know,
I mean, isn't that the answer?
Yeah, and it just, you know, it just irked me. And he wanted to know, well, did they do a chiroplasty? And I said, no. I said, by the time I got to see a doctor that would take an X-ray, it had already started healing and they couldn't fix it. So that's our good medical profession now.
So you're just stuck with a buggered up vertebra, and not a damn thing you can do about it.
Right, it's grown back, crushed 70% on one side.
That's got to feel great.
And there's no. Oh, it does.
Well, just don't make sure you don't ask them for anything for pain, because then they'll put a note in your file calling you a junkie.
No, I've been down that road. They wouldn't give me anything for pain. And I told the doctor, I said, well, I kind of experimented around with over-the-counter stuff. And I said, acetaminophen kind of seemed like it worked the best. And I said, your other doctors that I kept getting sent to, they wouldn't give me anything for pain. And I said, I just had to suffer. And he just said, well, I'm sorry, my nurse practitioner is a good nurse practitioner. It's just you don't fit the profile of having anything like that. And I'm sitting there. I didn't say anything to him, but it's like, Jesus Christ, what in the world are you talking about?
Oh, I know. It didn't fit the profile. So now we've got profiling at the doctor's office. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
Now, don't you?
That is correct.
Don't you have some congenital defects?
Sponsored. Oh yeah, I was born with cerebral palsy.
Shouldn't that be a light? And you know, we've got other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who have CP as well. Shouldn't a condition like CP sort of be a clue that there might be? What the hell kind of profile do you fit, Charlie?
Well, let me put it to you another way. I got sent to another doctor who was a sports medicine doctor, and it was at Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance. And this doctor said, well, he said, we can try physical therapy. I don't think that's going to work, but we can make some tiny incisions in the muscle in the back of your leg. And that will allow the muscle to stretch and compensate where that side of your body didn't grow properly. So I said, okay. So here I went through all the physical therapy stuff. And whenever I met my deductible on my medical insurance, they kept charging me as if I hadn't met my deductible. And so they were getting paid by the insurance company and they were getting paid by me. And they wanted their money right then, because I asked them about it, and I told them I had talked to the insurance company, and the insurance company told me that I didn't owe anything past a certain point. And they wanted their money right then, so I thought, well, if you can live with it, I can live without it. So I gave them the money. And 6 months later, I got a refund. And by the way, the doctor said, oh, well, said, I'm not going to do surgery. We'll just continue on physical therapy. And it's like, okay, I'm through. Right now I've got about as much respect for a doctor as what you flush down the toilet. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's, I just, you know, they'll give you the runaround. They'll try every way in the world.
Well, see, in the modern world, we have to. I have to say the same thing here that I have to say about, you know, police officers and stuff. You know, not all cops, right? You got to say that. Well, you know, not all doctors. The problem is, you're throwing straight pins at a dartboard by the dark of the moon, trying to find one of the not all doctors.
And I don't know. It just irks me. And you know, a lot of it's what insurance companies will pay and what insurance companies won't pay. And it's like, you know, one of the doctors told me, well, you can't take the, what is that, Fortimax or whatever that you take to harden your bones?
Oh, Fosamax.
Fosamax, that's it. They said you needed Forteo. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Forteo. Forteo for a injectable pen about the same size as an insulin pen, $3,000, and the insurance company won't pay for it.
Naturally.
So, you know, I mean, I would say that I'm surprised, but I'm not.
Right. No, you shouldn't be. And you know, just to extrapolate on this, it's not going to change, Charlie.
Somebody needs to set these people like Mitch McConnell down to them and say, listen to it, damn it. Listen to me, damn it. And I have no respect for Mitch McConnell.
I understand what you're saying, but Charlie, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't matter. Mitch McConnell's got his. Igum foo. I got mine. F you.
He got his $25 million from his in-laws.
Sure. Well, you know, Paul Ryan married money. Okay?
And these stupid-ass farmers up in Kentucky keep sending him back to the Senate, and I don't understand it. I mean, it's like somebody said, oh, are you a farmer from Kentucky? Let's split your scalp open and take your brain out. Oh, there you go.
Well, let's not talk about people having their skulls split open and their brains scooped out. You're from Tennessee, okay? I mean, how long's the Platt Avenger been going to the Senate?
Yep, you got that right, and there's a bunch of them in Tennessee, too. It's like somebody poured about a gallon of stupid in the water supply, and everybody started drinking it.
Hey, they pump it in by the blimp load every day, Charlie, and not just in Kentucky and not just in Tennessee, but all over the Confederacy, all right? And it is a problem that is endemic to the Confederacy. I mean, I got a story. Bear with me just a second, okay? Because I've been wanting to work this one in. News Ninja Gene put me onto a story out of Alabama. You know what hookworm is?
Yep.
Well, the state of Alabama has a hookworm problem that is on a par, statistically speaking, from a survey of one dirt poor county, Lowndes County. They got a hookworm problem that's on a par with any so-called third world developing nation you would care to mention. And that hookworm problem, if you know what hookworm does, after it gets into you and it works for a while, it creates anemia, which reduces one's ability to get up and move around and have energy and strength. And the next thing you know, somebody's calling you shiftless and lazy and no good. Well, lo and behold, this hookworm problem in Alabama obtains in Lowndes County, which is, of course, a majority African-American population. And you could not... You know, if that was happening, well, that would not be permitted to happen in a white community, even in Alabama. But it comes from the fact that the state of Alabama doesn't give enough of a damn about the citizens of Alabama, especially the ones that are, you know, the wrong complected, to provide basic sanitation services. Because we're talking about people who have who have next to no way of getting rid of sewage. And they run, you know, it's just a straight pipe into the woods, or if there's a creek, a straight pipe into the creek. And so consequently, they got a hookworm problem that should be the shame of the nation. But it's not the shame of Alabama, because that is what comes with conservative politics. Because Southern conservatism, and you know this as well or more than I do, because, you know, you live down there, not Alabama, but Tennessee. Conservative politics is another way of saying racist politics. Is it not?
That is absolutely correct. And I think if you'll remember back in the, I can't remember if it was the 40s or the 50s, where they had their little experiment where they told the people who had venereal disease that they had bad blood so they could study them and see what the venereal disease would do to them.
Yeah, oh, the Tuskegee experiment or something like that?
Yep.
But you've got, and you know, this is like Einstein working on the unified field theory, trying to figure out how you explain to poor working people that they're fucking themselves. And I realize I'm engaging in a little, I'm doubling back on and being a little bit of a hypocrite because, you know, I have criticized from time to time, Charlie, the willingness of liberals and progressives to get all twee and precious and say, why do those people always vote against their own interests? And I've said, well, you know, maybe the problem is they think their interests are in the little fetuses and in their guns.
And so
the question becomes one of how do you communicate to people who should know better that it's more important for them to be able to stay alive than it is, and I'm even framing that wrong. How do you get people to understand that they're being taken, that they're being ripped off, that they're being defrauded, that they're being played for fools? How do you do that?
Well, you know, somebody needs to have about a one-hour settee with John Hagee and Joyce Meyer and all them and say, look, damn it, you know, you're living in millions of dollars worth of mansions here, and you've got people sending you money, and they're sending you the money that they've saved up to buy food because, quote, you're doing the work of the Lord. And I don't read anything in the Bible about anybody having $1 million mansion. I mean, it's not there.
Well,
this prosperity gospel is the biggest bunch of horse crap.
You know why we've got the prosperity gospel, and you know why Kenneth Copeland has $750 million and why Joel Osteen has 70? You know why they've got that money? Two things.
I guess they're just a little...
The First Amendment and the IRS code. Okay?
Well, people have to send them the money. People should just, you know, if I got a letter from old John Hagee, I'd send him a letter back saying, hey, dude, go pound sand. And while you're at it, go visit your spiritual father permanently who is in hell. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel.
You got no cause to apologize. But the thing is, you know, John Hagee doesn't read his mail. John Hagee pays somebody minimum wage to read his mail. And all they do is split the envelope open. If there's a check in it, the check comes out and the rest goes in the garbage. If there's not a check in it, all of it goes in the garbage. Even the ink of your note would be wasted.
I wonder if they send you one of those cardboard prayer rugs.
Well, you can make a cardboard prayer rug out of the box that the bucket pudding comes in.
Oh,
but in all seriousness, It is the ridiculous way in which we interpret the Constitution, and particularly the First Amendment, that allows that shit to go on. And then, as the song says at the beginning of the Wednesday program, it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Yep. I would have no problem taxing churches, and I think there's a lot of churches out there that would have no problem with taxing churches.
Oh, bullshit. There's not a church on earth that, in the United States that would be happy paying tax. I don't care if it's the most loving, liberal, Unitarian congregation or the most hard-shell Baptist. The one thing they've all got in common is they deserve to be tax-free.
Well, it's like, I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew where, you know, the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they said, is it lawful for us to pay taxes?
And he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And he showed him.
He said, show me a denarii. And he said, whose picture's on this? Caesar. Well, render unto Caesar what is to Caesar and to the Lord. So if you pass a law that says churches have to pay taxes, right there it is in the Bible. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar.
But you know what? There's an even deeper meaning to that, Charlie. That is actually, because let's remember, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, was a radical. He was liberal, even. And what he was, when they showed him the denarius, he said, whose picture's on it? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And you can make an argument that what Jesus was saying was that churches ought not even be remotely in the money business. Because one of the central problems that was faced in his time, assuming that he was real, is the rampant avarice and dishonesty and greed of the temple priesthood. You know, that was not his only interaction with money, because you also, you know, the real reason he winds up getting arrested and winds up getting killed isn't because he said he was the king of the Jews. And it's not because of the gospel he was preaching. Jesus got murdered for attacking the financial system of the dominant religious sect. That's what got him killed. That's what always gets people killed. That's what got Dr. King killed. That, you know, they were okay. That, you know, J. Edgar Hoover had a shit hemorrhage, and white conservatives, white people generally lost their minds over Dr. King's march from Selma to Montgomery and all of that stuff. But what got him killed was when he started reaching out to white folks and saying that what we got here is a poor versus rich problem.
Well, let me tell you something.
And that's when they blew him away.
Back in those days, in Memphis, Tennessee, it was quote from the affluent white people, quote, it is the black person's job to do jobs like collect garbage. And they were paying these people like 25 cents an hour or something. Can you live on that? Could you have lived on that back in the 70s? I couldn't.
Or the late 60s? Hell no.
And
$2 a day? No.
No. Nobody could live on that. I mean, and, you know, the people of color just said, hey, we want to be treated the same as everybody else. And there's nothing wrong with that. And what happened? Well, you know, whenever Dr. King was in Memphis, they said, well, he's the cause of all this. Let's mow him down. And, you know, that's just the way it was. I mean, you know, I couldn't afford to live on what they were paying the garbage collectors. And that was from the, quote, the affluent white point of view. That was the jobs that black people were supposed to do, which is a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but it, you know, this kind of works thematically with some of the stuff I was saying earlier. like that, like the Ninth Circuit case out of San Francisco. You know, the Ninth Circuit's the liberal, the liberal, great liberal Satan of the circuit courts of the United States, but they behaved just as conservatively as anybody when the big money complained that they were being unfairly targeted because they're, you know, the big, because they're the biggest part of a massive obesity and diabetes epidemic. And the court jumps in and says, whoa, 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 now wait a minute. You're talking about the money here.
Yeah.
You're okay until you attack the money. See, that's, I mean, and that's at the core, that's at the core of the healthcare debate too. Because what these Republicans, they don't give a goddamn who lives and who dies as long as the people dying aren't them. But they damn sure care about the money. They care about the money that the CEOs of the health insurance companies get. And they and I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was that quote from Precious Lindsey Graham, who said, "The battle we are fighting here today is the battle between a healthcare system based upon capitalism, or our descent into socialism." Because well, because what would happen? What would happen to Aetna Health and United Health and all the other healthcare insurance providers? What would happen to them if we had a pure government-based social health insurance program?
They would probably go away.
Ta-da! And thus, the money is at risk, and they will fight to the bloody end protecting the money. Because, it, because in point of fact, a system run similarly to the Social Security Administration, one of the Social Security Administration is one of the most efficient government agencies in the country. The administrator of the Social Security system is not a billionaire, but the Social Security system operates far more efficiently than any corporate retirement plan. Okay? And yeah. so consequently, there's not going to be a job out there for multi-billionaire J.P. Gottrocks. It ain't going to be there.
Well, if we had had socialized medicine, what they call, what they've nicknamed single payer, I would have probably gotten a back x-ray, and I'd have probably gotten a chiroplasty, and I would probably have gotten my spine fixed. But, oh, no, we had to have the capitalist Aetna insurance company who says, oh, well, you don't fit this profile, so you probably don't have this.
Because you're a profile.
Yep.
That's like, and look, what, I'm going to have a conversation with my doc tomorrow, and it's just how it is. And we're gonna wind up talking about my blood work numbers, and blood work numbers are a decent indication of overall general health. But you are not your blood work, and your blood work is not you.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly good differential diagnosis practice.
Well, now, the one thing I will say about the doctor I'm going to now, she has a very small practice, and most of her patients are Hispanic immigrants and poor Hispanic people, and she was the only one that gave enough of a damn to send me to a doctor who would x-ray my back. Now, that should tell you a lot about our healthcare system and our, quote,
yeah, but
mainstream doctor.
Right, and but you got to understand, the nurse practitioner who works for the doctor who wouldn't send you for the x-ray, that guy has been to a seminar.
Yep.
And the seminar was probably sponsored by a pharmaceutical company, and it may have been held on an island somewhere. And there was a nice hotel and hummingbird tongue canapes and shit like that. And he went to a seminar, a management seminar, that told him how to, you know, how to minimize the amount of time that anybody in his staff spends with a patient and maximize the amount of money coming in. And that ain't the practice of medicine. That's the practice of capitalism.
Right. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know. I guess, you know, and there's a lot of people argue with me in our Bill of Rights, it says no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. And they say, well, that only applies to the acts of passing legislation.
No, that applies to acts of the government.
And it's like, well, you know, it says that I will not be deprived of life. So,
yeah, but you're not promised, that does not promise that you won't be shot on the street by some lawful, awful gun owner who goes from lawful to awful in the space of time it takes for the trigger to travel. That is it, like all you know, the Constitution is a document that applies to what the government can and cannot do to you. You know, for instance, the Constitution says that we can't stop Nazis from marching against peaceful protesters. The government go, oh, infringing on their free speech. No, oh my God. But on the other hand, well, you know, do you see what I'm getting at? On the other hand, if one of those Nazis gets outed and his employer finds out he's got a Nazi working for him, that employer can sure as hell fire the Nazi. And there's no constitutional gripe.
Well, it's kind of like this. I have no recourse, Bob. I mean, right now I'm in pain just about, you know, probably 70% of the day, sometimes 100% of the day I'm in pain.
Have you ever sat down and had a conversation with a halfway talented lawyer about any of this?
No, I've never sued anybody in my life, and I don't plan to.
Well, that's where the recourse part comes in, Charlie.
Yep.
That's where the recourse part comes in. A little bit ago, I got a note from James who said, who heard your story and just wrote and said, that's a lawsuit. Sometimes it's the only way to teach these people to stop doing the awful things they're doing, and it has a secondary benefit of maybe keeping them from doing it to the next person. Now, maybe you go in and you talk to the lawyer, and the lawyer says, you know, it's a shitty thing they did, but there's not a damn thing the law can do for you. Maybe that happens. But maybe the lawyer looks at you and says, you know what? There's something here. Or maybe the lawyer will tell you, you know, at the very least, you can write to the state medical board and put a letter in the fucker's file.
Oh, I've got paperwork where the nurse practitioner sent me to physical therapy, and then I've got paperwork where finally, whenever I got sent to this other doctor, he found 70% crushed vertebra and defective disc on up in my back. You know, I mean, I've got paperwork where all this actually happened.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, you know.
I know. Well, Charlie, it's been a good conversation. I appreciate it. I hope you got a little bit off your chest. And not that it necessarily makes anything better, but you know, as the line from one of my favorite movies goes, all we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it.
Yeah. Well, I'll catch you later.
All right, you take care, Charlie. Bye now. My buddy Charlie calling from down Dallas way. Had things gone a little differently, I would have gone to a bumper and played Jimmy Buffett's from the orthodox canon of Jimmy Buffett from A1A. I would have played Dallas. If you ever get a chance to go to Dallas, take it from me, pass it by, because you'll only lose your some heart down in Dallas. Take it from me, don't go and cry. I'm leaving this town as soon as I can, etc. Sorry, the lyrics just stick sometimes. And by the way, with 10 minutes remaining in the program, I'm looking at a tweet from Geezer Disgustus. Honored to host a luncheon for African leaders this afternoon. Great discussions on the challenges and opportunities facing our nations today. This was where he told him that people, his buddies, were coming to Africa to get rich. And you know what? People in African nations kind of have an idea of what's going to happen when white folks go there to get rich. Let's say the Congo. King Leopold? Anybody? If the little bastard with the Charlie Chaplin mustache hadn't come along, we would know about genocide because of King Leopold of Belgium, not because of him. Because he kind of invented it in the Congo. Now, I'm looking in these photos, and I don't see anywhere. I don't see the flag of Namibia. Jesus, the embarrassment. It's just sad. Meanwhile, they let Melanoma, who cannot move her face, they let Melanoma talk to the United Nations today. And only days after her husband retweeted a piece of video of him hitting a golf ball and then the golf ball striking Hillary Clinton in the back, Melanoma gave a speech about how we have to do something about bullying and telling world leaders to teach moral conscience by example. And once again, no lightning bolt. Her face did freeze up, but that's not some sort of metaphysical action. That's just the Botox. She said, "We must remember that they are watching and listening, so we must never miss opportunity to teach life's ethical lessons along the way. As adults, we are not merely responsible, we are accountable. I hope you will join me in recommitting ourselves to teaching the next generation to lead and honor the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is paramount in today's society and my focus as First Lady. It reminds our generation's moral imperative to take responsibility for what our children learn and not to take money to take off clothes." No, I added that last part. And there was no lightning bolt. Yeah, oh well. Since we talked a little bit about the police, you know, the term snowflake has entered the national pop culture lexicon since the election. I've come to the conclusion that police are the biggest, most cowardly, terrified snowflakes in the country. Not all cops! But they are scared to death. Some of it's reasonable. After all, after a generation or so of having America's most politically connected, wealthiest domestic terror organization arming the country to the teeth, a cop doesn't know when somebody's going to take a shot at him. That's for real. But generally speaking, they are terrified. And so it was that in Oklahoma City last night, Magdiel Sanchez was on his porch around 8:15 p.m. local time. There had been a hit and run involving his father. And the cops showed up. And Lieutenant Matthew Lindsay saw Magdiel Sanchez on the porch. And Magdiel Sanchez had a 2-foot-long metal pipe wrapped in some type of material with a small leather loop on the end of it. Now, Magdiel Sanchez was known to take walks in the neighborhood, and he carried the pipe in case stray dogs came along and attacked him when he went for his nightly walks. But Lieutenant Matthew Lindsay, who apparently wet himself and befouled himself at the mere sight of a Hispanic guy with a pipe, perceived the pipe as a weapon and called for backup. And Sergeant Chris Barnes then showed up. When the other unit arrived, verbal commands were being given to this particular individual to drop the weapon and get on the ground. But seeing that they were yelling at him, Miguel Sanchez walked toward the officers. And they kept screaming at him, "Stop! Lay down on the ground! Don't move! Don't move! Don't move, maggot!" You know, all cop talk. And then they tasered and shot Miguel Sanchez, the Oklahoma City police did. Killed him deader than Pharaoh's cat. And meanwhile, everybody in the neighborhood who knew Miguel Sanchez were yelling, "He's deaf! He can't hear you! He is deaf! Get on the ground! He's deaf! He can't hear—" Bang! At 15 feet away. They blew him away at 15 feet. He was walking. He wasn't running. He didn't have the pipe raised up in his in some sort of striking fashion. And Sergeant Chris Barnes is now on paid vacation, while the Oklahoma City Police and the DA furiously seek to make sure that it's perfectly legal for a cop to blow away a deaf guy after screaming at him to get on the ground because of officer safety. There you go. There you go, Brother Deacon Asa. Little cowbell. Hashtag Blue Lives Murder. Cowbell for you too, Devin. The flag of Nambia should feature a white telemissionary roasting on a spit. To be wished. Note coming from Steve on the Gulf Coast. An American hospital has a cashier window where you pay. An American VA hospital has a cashier window where you are reimbursed for things like travel between one hospital or clinic to another. There's your difference. Yeah, we ain't going to have none of that for the rest of the proles. And if they can get away with it, we ain't going to have that no more for no more veterans, no how. That's true, sentient being in the chat room. That could have been a rocket launcher, Bob. It could have been. So thank you, everybody. We met our fundraising goal this evening. It wasn't how I intended to meet it, but thank you, everybody who helped out. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Midweek Pinch Hit Utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. He tells me that the air quality alert where he is there in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains is at orange. It has been red. Stay safe. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And Russell says, the rapture, I'll need to cash in the last of my shares before the market implodes, according to Tom Hartman. I'll finance the Beckley Rapture with the blow-up dolls. Just let me know how much it will cost. Maybe a good idea to add some light weights to the feet of the balloons to rise up like people and not spin and flip the way balloons usually do. Also, would the warrior princess like to have a jewelry box? I've attached a sample of the kind that I'm making out of cigar boxes. Oh, she would be thrilled to pieces, Russell. That would tickle her to no end. He says, I've got a money order I've been meaning to post to you. Well, thanks. Thanks, Russell. Thanks so much. Those are beautiful, beautiful boxes. So, let's get out of here. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.